I'd like to introduce now the practice of what's called silent illumination. Or the Chinese is mo zhao. Mo zhao. In the Japanese Zen tradition, it's often referred to as shikantaza. Shikantaza. Similar to the Chinese zhiguan. Dazuo, which means just minding, sitting. Just minding, sitting. Then shortened to just sitting. Silent illumination is not something that Chan masters invented. The name was invented. Essentially, silent illumination is mindfulness. However, it's a certain kind of mindfulness, a certain approach to mindfulness. 2 days ago, when we introduced mindfulness as a practice of being mindful of body, feelings, states of mind, and all aspects of experience, there are oftentimes ways to approach mindfulness that make it more sequential. So before we do this practice, I just want to contrast it with mindfulness that's being taught in various Buddhist traditions to silent illumination, mindfulness. What's the difference? Basically, mindfulness that is more sequential focuses on a particular object or a particular field. So, for example, in the Vipassana tradition, what's been known as Vipassana tradition, the retreats led by Goenka's group. Have you heard of those 10-day retreats where it's almost all sitting, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of sitting? The mindfulness approach oftentimes starts with mindfulness of the breathing, and there is a localized object. The breathing is localized, or the attention is localized around the breathing at the nose, maybe sometimes the abdomen. So there is a field, a defined field of focus. Then it may move to sensation. You may be taught to scan your body, scan the various sensations, and then if there is a sensation that's noticeable, more noticeable, then to stay with that particular sensation. So, for example, you may be having a lot of leg pain. You may be taught to focus on the leg pain, which may sound strange at first. Why would I focus on leg pain? It hurts. Focusing on the leg pain helps us actually to experience more what is happening there, rather than just resisting it. Ah, leg pain. Thinking about it, resisting it. To focus on it, observe it. See what happens to pain. What is pain made of? It's almost like taking a microscope to our experience and observing a particular field with such clarity, we see that it's just made up of a bunch of tiny sensations. And those things come and go. And eventually we may find that, oh, it's actually not so bad. And the resistance releases. And eventually the sensation changes. And then you may move on. Another sensation, maybe an emotion. You feel a tightness in the chest from emotion. That could be an object of feeling. And you may direct your mindfulness at that field of feeling. And so on and so on. So like this picture here, this circle, could represent our total experience at this moment is the circle. All the sights and sounds and feelings and thoughts that are happening all at this moment, just this big circle, this big constantly flowing experience. Within that circle, there are localized fields of experience. That's what these little mini circles are inside of it. Mindfulness is like localizing attention, or the four foundations of mindfulness. When they're taught, sometimes they're taught with localizing your attention on those sensations. Silent illumination is like just letting your mind be open to the totality of experience. Just the whole circle, not localizing on any particular sensation, thought, field of experience. Just take in the whole picture all at once. What is the whole picture all at once? Well, it's actually we're sitting there. We're sitting there, and everything that's coming from this experience of sitting is our whole experience. So quite naturally, it's not that we're just imagining somehow being aware of everything, but that we should notice that our body is there on the cushion. It's a solid presence, right? Like right now, can you sense that your body is there sitting? Right? Of course, just we feel this bodily presence. But there's also sound, right? Sounds, sights, feelings, everything is part of that experience of the body sitting. Body, mind, sitting. Just being aware of that is silent illumination. Not localizing attention on parts or specific fields. Just being open to the whole experience of sitting. Actually, we've done it before. The last time we did the sitting together, it was really mindfulness in terms of the approach of silent illumination. But mindfulness can be applied differently. It can be more of a localized attention. And in some traditions, it can include analytical thinking. It can include thinking. For example, if there's pain, you may be taught to label it pain. Someone mentioned labeling before. That's one approach, pain. Or, you know, anger. Maybe taught to be taught to label it, anger. That's a kind of thinking, it's a kind of analytical thinking to almost dissect the experience in a mindful manner. That's what's done in some traditions. Depending on the approach, it's often localized attention and a bit more of analytical thinking or discrimination at the beginning. Silent illumination is just wide open. Just be aware that you're sitting. Sense the body there sitting and everything else that's happening. You may get your attention may get pulled to leg pain if your legs hurt. You know, if there's another sensation of heat or cool, our attention may get pulled there. Oh, I feel a lot of heat in my abdomen. Or maybe our attention goes there. Once we notice that, just relax again. Relax physically and relax your attention. Which actually may be difficult for some, because we may feel that to be mindful, we have to have an object to focus our attention. That's actually not the case. We could be mindful or conscious of the total experience in a very natural, easygoing, relaxed way. So the illumination, just being aware of what's happening. Silence, not thinking about it. Not getting caught up in it, thinking about it. Not even focusing on it, one part of it. By doing that, our discriminating mind, our thoughts and our habits of thinking gradually quiet and settle down, just like a snow globe. You know, Christmas time, the snow globes, they shake it up and there's snow everywhere and you put it down. In the beginning, there's gonna be lots of thoughts flowing in our mind, most likely. Just let them flow. Let them flow. Just be aware of sitting. Thoughts flow, feelings flow, everything flows, sounds flow in and out. Let them flow, and let the thoughts settle. The more they settle, the more clear about sitting you'll be. The more clear about sitting you are, the less agitated the mind will be. And that's silent illumination. Simple, straightforward. Any questions about that? Yeah?
Does it mean letting the thoughts flow while you're sitting and you realize you have this moment where you realize, oh, I just got caught up in the story? Do you let this thinking pass until you're done with it, kind of? Or you try to, oh, no, I just realized I was thinking, I'm getting back to method of counting the breath.
Yeah, good question. Actually, the moment we realize we were caught up in thinking, we're already back. We don't have to do anything else. We're already then aware of just sitting here. What we usually may do is like, man, I was just thinking again. You know? We fight with it or react to it. Ah, I was just thinking again. I should be sitting, just sitting, just sitting. You know, there's like resistance. Or it's like, what's so bad about thinking? This is kind of nice. Thinking about this, thinking about that. Oh, that was nice. Now that's like being caught up in the story and continuing it. Practice is neither of those two extremes, not fighting the flow of thought, not creating a new story or editing or, you know, replaying the story. Just recognize that, I was just caught up in thinking. And then, we're already aware that we're sitting again. It's like, oh, I'm here sitting. It's the best kind of attitude with meditation. Not like, come on, be mindful, but, oh, here I am sitting. Oh, here I am sitting. And we get lost. There's no doubt we're gonna get lost. Oh, just lost. I'm sitting. It's really that simple, but it's just our habit of either really trying hard or just kind of being lazy and hanging out, thinking. We just again and again recognize and keep sitting. Any other questions or clarifications?
Maybe after.
After? Do it for a little bit and then we'll come back and we have time for the rest of the discussion. Yeah? Question mark. So, can you say that again? Sorry.
If it's like more you're practicing, then the gap between, you know, like how many thoughts you get and that moment when you're just
I see.
Is getting like bigger, so more you're aware that you're sitting and less thoughts are around. It's a question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true to say that the more we practice this, the more we get used to just being aware of sitting, recognizing when we're lost, we'll be lost less and less. We'll get less and less carried away by thoughts. However, thoughts will just still pop up. It's not bad if thoughts come up. It's different to be lost in thought than to have thoughts just come and go with no problem. It's like thoughts are not the problem, not the thought's fault. It's just when we get lost in them and don't even realize that we're carried away. That's the problem. Thoughts arising, it's just like, psh, like the waves on the ocean. No problem. Come, they go. We're still aware that we're sitting. However, it is possible to have a mind that all thoughts settle out completely and naturally, just like the snow globe, and we're just left with clarity. That's not necessarily so easy, so frequent. Did I answer your question? Yeah. Shall we?
Because, you know, sometimes, especially when you're drowsy,
Yeah. It's actually, it's fine that it is blurred, and it should be blurred, because our eyes are unfocusing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a blurred vision, light, and general shape. Mm-hmm. Unless we're in daily life and moving about and just sitting, it's a blurred light. There's a deeper kind of drowsiness, though. It's not even drowsiness. A deeper kind of fogginess that could happen, which is sometimes in meditation, no matter what method we're using, we're still trying to check out and get away from more of the deeper suffering that we experience. Because when we meditate, if we really are calm, it's a time where these deep seeds of suffering could surface. And initially, it's not very pleasant. We all have bad memories. We all have some degree of traumatic experience. And meditation is actually allowing things to arise. So even within silent illumination, the silence means that things arise, but we don't fight with them. We should allow things, thoughts, feelings to arise. Illumination is being clearly aware of them. However, it still can be difficult, so we may try to check out. And one way to try to check out is to find a way to be drowsy. We may know how to get into a state or try to avoid and disassociate with not only the body, thoughts, and feelings. Kind of like the gentleman I mentioned. If that's happening, if we find we're frequently drowsy, but we're not tired, we have plenty of energy. We have enough sleep, we have enough energy, we've been exercising, all these things are in balance, but we still end up drowsy or cloudy, foggy. It's good to introspect and really ask ourselves, am I trying to avoid suffering? Am I trying to get away from these painful seeds? If we are, if we can then shift our attitude to welcome these seeds into consciousness as they come, that's another way that we can really transform them. And it's, you could say it's taking care of our own suffering and taking care of the suffering we've inherited, in a way. What we've learned from our family, from those close to us, as we open up to all of that, we're aware of it, letting it happen, letting it come and go and change. It's transforming it. And we're also, at the same time, helping our ancestors or resolving the issues of our ancestors so that they don't continue to perpetuate, so that we don't pass those habits and seeds on to others. So it's a very powerful practice, even though it's so simple. It's very powerful to allow things to happen. Just be there with it. That's silent illumination.
So when you have something that is arising during the meditation, what happened to me is like a thought came in that sparked a very negative reaction in the body. So I was wondering if you kind of let it hold, and but that means also it's getting more and more started, or you try to actually getting to the question that I had already before, when is time for thinking? Because I think in a busy daily life, I usually don't find space to really get to a process of thinking and beginning and to the end, but it's just like thinking, something pops in, and then later you assume this or that. And so I'm often triggered or seduced to do it in meditation, because then I finally have this space and time to go through this process.
Mm-mm. Yeah. That's a good segue into just practice in daily life. But the first question about, when really heavy emotions, powerful things arise, they're triggered. Do we let it unfold, or do we try to keep it brush it away somehow. Brushing away is really a way of rejecting. Trying to do something with what arises is really a rejection of it. We don't want to do that. Do we let things arise and then explore or engage in it? Well, we don't want to engage in it in a way that's making more out of it. You know, keep thinking about it, or, ah, this is that memory, let's see, oh, that's right, that's because of this. You know, we don't want to connect the dots or connect the thoughts in that way. But when the feelings arise and the thoughts arise, we're just really aware of it, and that's it. Maybe a very short time where one brief memory, or even just a brief period of time of memory that we're unaware, all of a sudden creates a very heavy feeling, unpleasant or pleasant. It's important just to, once we notice it, we're just aware of sitting. Let that be there. The feeling may take a while before it changes and softens. Just be there with it. That can be the tough part, because it can be very unpleasant. However, awareness of it softens it, transforms it. And the heavy, unpleasant feelings naturally become pleasant feelings, and then even neither pleasant nor unpleasant, it's just clarity of what's happening.
I always have the same, and I always then try to promise myself to come back later on this topic, but now appreciate the fact that I don't have to think, because the whole day you have to react, to think about this, to listen to this, and this is the only 30 or 20 minutes my mind has to do nothing.
Yeah. So to go on to the second part, really, we should give ourselves time during meditation not to think. Like not thinking time, being time. However, daily life practice, you know, it's not so complicated. It's really doing all these different methods that we've been doing during the training, including your yoga practice, in our usual contexts, but giving ourselves time to think and plan. Wonder if we're lacking in that. Maybe we do a lot. Sometimes we should do a bit more planning with some things, but we end up doing other stuff. So then we don't have our planning time, and then meditation time just becomes planning time. I've heard that happens a lot. So, almost like having a meeting with other people to make plans, which we have to do. We have a meeting with ourselves. We sit down. What do I have to plan? What do I have to reassess? And use the thinking mind in a calm and clear way. I think that's a great way to do problem solving, when problem solving is needed. Time to problem solve. So daily life practice in general, there are some activities we could do with minimal thinking and more just direct perception, right? Like cleaning, eating, washing, very minimal thought is needed. You know, we still need to think, or we still need to have a perception, an idea that this is a bar of soap versus, you know, I don't know, food. You know, those perceptions are necessary and happen. But when we do things, we don't need to, hey, what kind of soap is this? What is this made of? Ah, this is great soap. I love the smell of lavender, whatever, you know. What is this crunchy stuff in here? Simplifying our mind when we can. That can free up a lot of mental space and make us feel much less busy. Just having a simple mind when we can. Minimal discursive thinking. And just being mindful of what's at hand, mindfully eating, mindfully walking, mindfully washing, mindfully whatever. And gradually, engaging gets easier. We'll be more clear and more aware of what's happening when we talk. We start to be able to talk more mindfully, engage more mindfully. The natural product of being mindful in the simpler situations. And then when the big trouble comes, or when big challenges come, it'll be easier to deal with them. We'll still get moved, we'll still react, but then we notice it much sooner. We can adjust ourselves. So what helps is the routine as well. You mentioned routine earlier. Are you still here? Routine?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm just relaxing the body.
Yeah, feel free. Routine can be helpful. At least a routine of sitting meditation, which provides us that space to have the simplest environment, the simplest space to cultivate mindfulness. Daily sitting is key. Other routine, you know, people may think it's like troublesome to have routine. They feel it's suffocating to have too much routine because they just do things when things happen. Everybody's different in that sense. Some people, more structure is good. Some people, less structure is comfortable. However, you can consider maybe a little bit more structure can help so that we know what we should be doing at what time. Even just knowing that this is my time for this, we're more likely to do it, more likely to have a collected mind, rather than, what could I do at this time? Endless possibilities and endless temptations. Some routine can provide structure and that mental clarity to know, oh, it's time to do this. And now it's playtime. Or now it's time to just be free and let's see what happens. Experimenting with that may help us have a more consistent practice, consistent mindfulness. You going to say something?
No, just to highlight, as you were saying before, the importance of planning that routine. And then it puts in perspective how much free time you actually have.
Hmm. So I wanted to save time for you folks as well. I don't think there's so much to say about daily life practice, is there? Is there anything else that's puzzling or you have doubts about how to really bring this into daily life? Be mindful. But be mindful of something. What is that something is the key. Are we clear about what that something is right now or at each period of the day? Yeah, right now, what should I be mindful of?
Can I ask one question?
Sure. And this time is up, it's all yours.
Just one more question. Are you mindful all the time?
No. Can't claim that.
And what times you are not mindful? Did you have what time around 25?
Yeah, it's a valid question, but random times. If I knew when I wasn't mindful, I'd be mindful all the time. But I have found that it's less easy to be mindful when I'm not clear about what am I doing today with this time.
What is the difference? So if we want to be more mindful, then we know this is something which we need to achieve.
I don't really know if I'm more advanced than you.
Yes.
Okay. Honestly, I have experience and knowledge and training, but it doesn't mean that the quality of my mindfulness is somehow stronger than everyone. Maybe for some, I have a stronger mindfulness and I'm more able to catch myself being unmindful compared to someone else with less experience. But maybe it's also the case that even with all this experience, a brand new beginner to the practice has stronger mindfulness than I have. Because of their way of living, because of their seeds. But what can we do? Have the intention to be mindful all the time. You know, it starts with the intention to not just be part-time practitioner, but my intention, even though I haven't been mindful all the time, my intention is to be mindful all the time. And not give myself the excuse of, well, I'll give myself a break. Let's have an unmindful day today. You know? To me, an unmindful day is an unhappy day. My mindfulness.
For an amateur like me, how can I measure my mindfulness? How should I know? Because I need some more structure. Yeah, I need it.
No,
Isha,
you should ask it.
Hmm.
If you feel like asking,
Yeah, well, how about...
Yes, I can do this when I feel very good about myself, about my things, about my things around me. I'm grateful to all the well beings, but still I'm asking, am I mindful?
Yeah.
How to measure it? This, I can practice mindfulness, but how should I measure that I'm achieving it? Am I doing right or wrong?
Yeah, valid question. I don't know if it's possible to really measure it precisely because it's really just a quality of mind. But again, if we notice that we're feeling more joyful, we notice that we're more relaxed, we notice that we feel more peaceful, if we notice that we get angry less, if we notice that the people who used to really bother us, now we start to actually feel okay with them. We'll know that our habits are changing, you know, that our reactions are softening, that we feel more and more okay with things that were really challenging before. That's one way to measure, you could say. That helps, yeah. And another way to have a reminder, to constantly remind us, because we will forget all the time, and to use this thing which can so easily steal our mindfulness, is there's an app by Plum Village. It's a community called Plum Village. They're the Sangha that was born or came about from the Zen teacher Thich Nhat Hanh that I mentioned quite a few times. They have an app now. It hasn't yet been put out, like promoted, so to speak, but it's there. So if you search for Plum Village, you'll find it. And they have a bell, a mindfulness bell, that you can set to go off like every hour, every 30 minutes, every 2 hours. And it's a very soft, it's like that bell. Just like that bell that you use in the morning. And I use it now. I think it's wonderful. I set for mine, it's once every hour. So I'm working, I'm doing something, boom. Put down my work, sit for a moment, be aware that I'm sitting, relax into it, maybe take a breath, and then continue. It's, oh, you heard it going off? When? Oh, in the apartment?
Yeah.
Possible.
Even without the app, because there are churches in Berlin.
Yeah.
Just whenever you hear the song.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Find an apartment in the church.
Thanking those of other faiths for reminding us to be mindful. Awesome.
I get the.
I like what you said about this bad day. Like you said, a non-mindful day is like a bad day. I have that now, where I have like a hangover, like a non-mindful hangover, where when I went through something, and the next day I feel like I was not mindful.
The day before.
Yeah.
So like waking up in the morning would be the mindfulness is back. Is that what you mean? Yesterday it was really
yes.
Drunk on unmindfulness.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, in Buddhism there's the reminder that, you know, the lotus flower that's always drawn in Buddhism.
Mm.
Sorry, it's... Oh no, wait. Lotus flowers are born from what? Muck. Swamp. The material of our insight is muck of the swamp.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, to be prompt, it's 5:30. This is the conclusion of our sessions on Buddhism and mindfulness this week. I'd like to thank everyone for all of your attention and participation and nourishing all of these sessions. It was wonderful. And actually, I always learn by sharing and getting the feedback throughout the whole time. So thank you all.
Thank you.